So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about worshiping God. So if we're going to talk a little bit about it, then we got to, when you look around at the world around us, most claim to worship God. Doesn't matter whether they're a believer or a non-believer. A lot of people claim that they're worshiping God because they're going through all of these actions, all these religious movements, all these denominations, all these different things. But the problem is when we're going through these worldly events, we don't really know much about who it is that we're worshiping. So this is the first thing that we have to do, is we have to learn who we're worshiping, because God wants it to be of sincerity. Now, when I say worshiping the Lord, I'm not talking about just praise and worship, and I'm not talking about singing hymns. Or worshiping God is everything that we do. It's in our prayer life. It's in our study life. It's in our time that we spend in church. It's everything that we do in our life worships the Lord. So it's not supposed to be something that we're enticed to do. It's not supposed to be something that somebody is persuading us to do, or something that we're trying to demonstrate based upon our own wisdom or the wisdom of man. But it's something that we're supposed to be doing. The Bible says that we're supposed to be doing it in spirit and in truth. So that as individuals and also as the body of Christ. So let's look at a scripture in John real quick. It says exactly that. In John chapter 4, starting with verse 23, here's what Christ said. He said, "But the hour cometh and now is." You understand what he was saying there? Christ was trying to teach his disciples the things that were happening or going to happen. And he said, "The hour cometh." He said, "It's already here." So we're not waiting on something. It's something that's already taken place. And he says, "And now is when true worshipers," you hear what he said, "true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now, when I say in spirit, I'm not talking about our own worldly spirit. We're talking about through the indwelling Holy Spirit. So that tells you right now, sinners cannot worship God, because they don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling within them. So in spirit, and if we're in spirit, one of the things that Christ said when he sent the Comforter back, he said the Comforter will tell you what? He'll do what? He'll show you the truth. The truth of all things. Now, whether we accept that truth or not, that's a whole different story. But he said, if you're going to be a true worshiper of God, first of all, you're going to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. You're going to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And you're going to follow the truth that the Holy Spirit is given unto you. Because he said, "For the Father seeketh," those are the people that God seeks to worship him. Those who are going to be sincere. Those who are going to do it for the glory of God. So he says, it is because God is a spirit, and they that worship him then must. Hear that word, must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't communicate with God, first of all, if you're not doing it through the Holy Spirit. We know that because the scripture tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray or communicate with God. We don't know what to pray unless we're in the Holy Spirit. And he said, and that helps us to be truthful when we're talking to God. So worshiping God has nothing, a lot of people think, "I'll go to church Sunday morning and I'll worship God." What happened all the rest of the week? We just didn't do it, or we didn't want to do it, or we don't think we can do it unless we're in church. Most people have this idea that I have to go to church where they're doing praise and worship for me to worship the Lord. That praise and worship has nothing to do with worshiping God. That's just a demonstration or a show, but worshiping God has a whole, so it has nothing to do with a certain time. It has nothing to do with a certain place. It doesn't have anything to do with any religion. It doesn't have anything to do with any rituals or actions it has to do with our relationship with God. And it has to do with the closeness of our relationship with God. How close are we in our relationship with God? So we're not worshiping God to show somebody some kind of outward expression. That's not why we're doing it. It's not something that we're observing like Sunday morning. You know, if you go to church on Sunday morning to worship God, then I guess on Thursday night when we do Bible study, are we worshiping God then? Sure we are. Everything that we do is worshiping God. So it's this outward work that we do, but it's an outward work that we do acknowledging God. That's what it's all about. So what does it mean? Ask this question, because we have to start with this question somewhere. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? So first of all, it means we have to be a believer. We have to be born again, and we have to be born of the Spirit of God. I mean, when we were saved, at that very instant, this all took place in an instant, the Holy Spirit that was convicting us now, that was around us now and dwells within us, and it reveals us the truth of God, and it does it through what? It does it through God's Word, because God's Word is the truth. So let's just look at a couple of verses that tell us about that for a minute. So jump back into Psalm, because, you know, we don't separate the Old and the New Testament. We have to study it all together. So back in Psalm, in the 119th Psalm, and here's what he says in the 160th verse of the 119th Psalm. He says, "Thy word is true." What's he say there? "Thy word is true from the beginning." So if you want to jump over in John, we're not going to go to that one, but we are going to go to the New Testament. But in John says, in the beginning was what? The Word. So David said, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Christ always has been, always will. It was from the beginning. "So thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." So what's he talking about here? Every promise, every commandment, everything that is given unto us through his word, it has never changed. It has stayed the same. If he told us back in Genesis this was taking place, it still is happening today in our life today. He said it endureth forever. So let's jump over into Ephesians now real quick. Turn with me over to the first chapter of Ephesians. Let's go there and read a verse. We could read verses all day long about the truth of God's word. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, here's what he said. Let's start with 12. "That they would be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted." And here's what he said. You trusted after you what? After you heard the word of truth. You could not be saved without the word of truth. Christ is the word of truth. You cannot be saved without Christ. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So you had to trust in the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Did you hear that? The word of truth, Christ, which was the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe. If you go to Romans chapter 10, what's it tell you? You have to believe. By faith believing, this is how we trust in the word of truth. "In whom after that you believe," he said, "then you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So if you can't get from there, that the very moment that you were saved, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, you're not going to get it anywhere else, because he tells you right there. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So now, once the Holy Spirit, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, now we have that hope of our eternal life. Not "I hope I get eternal eternal life, but we have that hope of eternal life. We have that instilled within us. So through anything that we go through, we have the hope of eternal life. He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Worshiping God. Once you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, everything, now your responsibility became worshiping God. In everything that we do, worshiping God. So as true worshipers, and that's what as believers we are, then there's three things. We have wisdom, knowledge, and we have to gain understanding from God. And we talk about this all the time. So, but it comes from God's Word. Now, not only wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but now, I would say we must be willing, but we need to take that word must and should and all those out, because we are willing to live by it. If we're not willing to live by it, then we're a couple of Sundays ago when we talked about falling from grace, that's what happens. If we're not willing to live by the truth of God's Word, it hinders our relationship with God and we've fallen back from grace. So that means that now we're pursuing this holiness. We're obedient now to the truth of God's Word. And He, everything that He makes known to us through His Word means when we are following after that, when we are willing to do it, then we're not following after our own self-righteousness. And that's what God wants for us in our life. More about Him, less about us. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul addressed this just a little bit. So let's turn back there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. And here's what he said, because he was talking about the gifts and ministry and worshiping God within the church, within the body of Christ. And this goes with every individual church as well, because every church together combined makes up the body of Christ. He said, how is it then, brethren? So he's talking to the believer. He said, when you come together, he said, every one of you hath a psalm. Every one of you hath a doctrine. Every one of you hath a tongue, meaning you got an opinion. Okay, and that's why there's so many different denominations and religions today, because everybody has this going on. And he said, everybody has a revelation, everybody has an interpretation, but here's the thing, not everybody, he said, then why aren't we doing all these things to edify God? He said, y'all got it. Yeah, let's do that again. He said, when you come together, all of you have a psalm, meaning all of you got something. Everybody has a doctrine, how you think things ought to be or run. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a revelation. Everybody has their own interpretation of the Spirit. But he said, none of it's edifying God. So we're not worshiping God through it. So he says, this is what we got to get to in our life. We have to learn to worship God through our salvation and not through all of these other things. And the church today is worshiping God through everything but salvation. Most of them don't even mention salvation anymore. So how are we worshiping God? So we're not to worshiping in the flesh, but we're to worship Him in the Spirit. If we were using the indwelling Holy Spirit, then there would be some accountability to what we're doing for the Lord. The problem is there is no accountability because we're not following after the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is what transforms us. This is what transforms our image into the likeness of Christ. Why does God want us to be Christ-like? Because Christ is the Word, and the Word is truth, and God wants us to be the truth of His Word. So let's jump over to Revelation. John was allowed, if you remember, John said, I was called up into heaven. And John was allowed to get a glimpse. And this is an example that we're supposed to be using, because John was allowed to see a glimpse of the church once it gets to heaven. Once the church is called out and we're there with all the saints that have went on before us, God allowed John to see a glimpse of what it really meant to worship God. And we are supposed to take that example and use it today in the church. Now, people will say, oh, that's just something God let John see. No, God let John see it for a reason. Because he wanted, whatever we're going to do in heaven, we should be doing here upon the earth. Okay? It's not going to change. So that's what we should be doing. So in Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to start with verse 6, and let's just read down through verse 11 real quick. And here's what he says. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And these all represent something. I'm not going to go into that. And the four beasts which had them six wings about, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. So there's your first glimpse of how we should be worshiping God, day and night. It said they rested not day and night. So down here upon this earth, day and night. And then he said, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne who liveth forever, here's where it shows us that the church is there and all the saints before us was there. It says the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, that's all of us now, that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And here's what it said, they cast their crowns before the throne saying, so that means everything that we gained down here upon this earth, we presented it to the Lord. So why should it be any different here? Everything that God allows us to gain down here upon this earth, we should be doing what with it? Presenting it before the Lord. Okay? So we bring that before the Lord. And here's what he said. He said they brought it before the Lord. And he said, thou art worthy, O Lord, and he is the only one that is worthy to receive glory and honor and power because thou hast created all things. And for what? For thy pleasure, everything was created. Why were you and I created? To worship God. For God's pleasure. So, in order to understand this, we have to look back. How did all this come about? Well, first of all, we know it came about through Christ, who was sacrificed himself. God allowed that to happen on the cross. And he was the only member of the human race that could do it. Okay, none of us can do it. A lot of people think today they sacrifice a lot for the Lord. You'll never sacrifice as much as God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit did. So it was done for us. This is where our strength comes from. This is where our wisdom, our power, our knowledge, all these things. This is where sinless perfection comes from. Okay, there is such a thing as sinless perfection. So this is where this all comes from, and Christ is the only one that can execute this. He's the only one that can take care and did take care of the sinfulness of the world, and all at the same time when he was taking care of this, he was redeeming everybody that would believe that he done it. It hasn't changed today. None of that has changed. So no matter what we go through in our life today, everything is pointing to redemption. Everything is pointing to what Christ done upon the cross. So this portrays a Savior that can conquer all things. Now, when we were saved, we gained it. I can do all things, right? Say that with me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me my strength. Okay? With the same power. So that means in spite of any suffering that's going on around us, any suffering that we might be going through in our life today, we have the example of Christ because we have Christ now living within us. And when we start to encounter these things in the world around us, then we know that we can endure those things. God has, when Jared, in your Sunday school class today, what did God say? You guys are wondering why you're in bond. I put you there. And I put you there for a reason. Okay, and there was many reasons why he put him there. But he said, I put you there for a reason. And the main reason I put you there is repentance. I want to see repentance. So everything that's going on in the world around us today, the main reason is to bring people to repentance. And we don't see it because we can't see past the suffering that we think we're going through. But it's all about salvation. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. I know a lot of churches don't want to preach that, but it's about salvation. I don't care what you're going through here on this earth. It ain't nothing compared to what you'll go through if you don't go to heaven and live with the Lord. And this is what it's all about. So let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. These are really familiar verses. Chapter 12, verse 1. And here's what he says. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, so you can start in Genesis, and everything that you read up to your life today, witnesses about things that have happened down through time, things that God allowed to happen down through time, things that God used to bring people to repentance down through time. And we have this today, this great cloud of witnesses. And he said, they were able to do it. You're able to do it. I gave you this as an example. So he said, reading and studying and looking at this example, he said, lay aside every weight. And the sin, okay, the weight that we have is because of sin. That's right. If you've got peace of mind with God, there's no weight. So every weight that we have is because of sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's the weight. Sin. He said, lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, here's where a lot of us fall short a lot of times, because some things we look at and we don't think is sin. Those are the things that so easily beset us. Those things that we don't see as being sinful in our life. We've always done it. My dad before me always done it. My grandpa before him always done it. My great-great-grandpa. That doesn't mean it's not sinful. That just means you carried sin down from generation to generation to generation. And we're still doing it because we what? We've always done it. Does that make it right with the Lord? No. Put those things aside. The sin which does so easily beset us. And he said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Another thing you learned in your Sunday school class this morning. What did God tell the people? Yeah, you're in a predicament, but you don't quit. Don't give up, because the predicament that you're in is not only going to strengthen you, but if you do what I tell you to do, it's going to strengthen the people that live around you. The people you don't want to be here. But if you're going to be here, then be a witness. Show them what God's power is all about. And that's what he said here. Let us run with patience the race that is set before. You might not want to run the race, but I put you in it. So run it, and run it in a way that glorifies me, a way that worships me. So we use Christ as our ultimate example. If we don't use Christ as our alternate example of how we ought to live our lives, then we're never going to resist the temptations that come along. So we use him as the example to resist these temptations. And here's the part we got to understand. Pay attention to this. We run this race. We use him as ultimate example to resist temptation, because we understand. Listen to this and say it in your mind. We understand that suffering in my life, Suffering in our lives as a whole is all a part of God's plan. Nobody's agreeing with it. It is. Okay? So the suffering that we're going through is all a part of God's plan, because God's trying to get, he's trying to bring us together. Okay? He wants unity within the body of Christ. He wants us all to work together, what's it say in the scripture, for good to those who love the Lord. It's all for good, because when it's all for good, it's all for His glory, and He is the only one that is worthy to be praised or to be worshiped through it, not man. Oh, did you so-and-so down the road? He stepped up, and look at all the things he done. Why are we giving man glory for something God allowed? For something God is doing through man. So let's go to the second verse right there. Chapter 12, verse 2. So he says, the only way this is going to work is he says, we're going to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started your faith. He'll continue with it, and he'll your faith will continue on and endure because of him. And he says, who for the joy, now listen to this, because he is our example. And when he, if somebody came in today and we were still back in that time and started dragging you out of here and said they were going to hang you on a cross, there would be no joy, would there? Huh? No. But he said, who for the joy that was set before him, and what was the joy that he's talking about that was set before him? The joy was, he knew that whatever he endured, he said that he endured the cross, it said he despised the shame, but the joy was he looked past all of that, because he said now he is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he didn't see the rest of it. His hope was on what God had promised. And that is our hope today. So that means that even though we're going to suffer hardship, we're going to suffer persecution, Christ never wavered, God never wavered in his decision to do the will of the Father. We should never, never ever waver. We made that decision to do the will of the Father when we were saved. How many times have we wavered since then? I guarantee you, if you were saved yesterday, you've wavered a lot to today. If you were saved 10 years ago, you've wavered a lot to. Christ never wavered. When he made that decision, when that responsibility was given unto him, he took it, and he shows us that through obedience, okay, you read, Christ was obedient to the Father. Through obedience, he established every purpose and plan that we're now striving for today. That's already been established, already been taken care of. We're not doing anything new. We're just being obedient to what we promised we would do. Because at the end of that is victory. Okay? He said, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. One of these days, you'll be, if you go back into Revelation where we read that, you'll be one of those around the throne of God. And you'll be one of those worshiping God. So God is the one who made that way for us. So true worship is not about us, but it's all about the Lord. Has nothing to do with our earthly self. It has everything to do with our relationship with God and our life of Christ. So it's never about our own self-righteous ways. That's what true worship is. So true worship is always a confession of the heart. What's it say over in 1 John 1:9? If thou wilt confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us, bring us back into his righteousness. So we're always looking towards that one day when everything that Christ started upon the cross and through the resurrection will be perfected within us. But as we live our life here now, we live to worship God in everything that we do. So let me read you one more verse in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. And here's what Christ himself said. Well, let's read the last part of 17. He said, "Fear not, I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." And here's what he said. "I have the keys of hell and death." So Christ was put to death on the cross, but death couldn't hold him because he's alive. Through the resurrection, we as believers, we get to experience this uniqueness that we have by our faith believing in Christ. So that means there's nothing, and today, I already seen it this morning when they was putting all kinds of things on Facebook that we're going to get these storms over the next couple of days. Why should we fear them? Even if we have to suffer through them, why should we fear them? We do not have to fear those things. Worldly fear brings emotional distress, and we gave that up. As believers, we got rid of that. We gave that up. We're following after God. So that means we can overcome these emotional distresses in our life because we're applying what we learned about worshiping God in everything that we do. Meaning everything that we do for the Lord. And we can only do this as we learn to worship Him through what? Through Spirit. The Spirit that indwells within us and the truthfulness that that Spirit brings. That's why He says we must learn to worship God in Spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again, Lord, for the beauty of the day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. And thank you, Lord, that we can look to the things that man is going through in general, whether it's in our own lives or the lives of our family, our friends, our neighbors, or those around us, that we can look to you, Lord, and see that we need salvation. And see, Lord, that this world needs repentance. And be able, Lord, to go out through your love and through your compassion, through your mercy and through your grace. And as we help one another, show, Lord, that need for salvation. Show, Lord, that need for people to repent and to turn to you, Lord, before it might be everlasting too late in our lives. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we face the challenges and the trials and the tribulations that will continue to arise in our lives, Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to be able to conquer those things through the victory that you have given to us through the cross and your resurrection. And help us, Lord, to be found, Lord, doing those things that we pray are pleasing unto Thee, those things that are glorifying Thee, those things that we do through worshiping You, Heavenly Father. And let us be found worshiping You every moment of every day that we have left here upon this earth. Forgive us, Lord, for yes, we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Thursday evening Bible study is here because we're still in the month of July. Next Sunday, will be the first Sunday, and we'll be in services over at Big Isaac Community Church. Thursday evening, since we missed the Bible study this past Thursday, we'll be talking about, so this gave you all an extra week to talk about. We're going to be talking about baptism, yes. And we'll be talking about more than just water baptism, but I think your heading was repentance and water baptism. But so we're going to learn a little bit about that, and we're going to be talking about that.